Hey, Roros, do you ever call up Royally Obsessed on Alexa?
It's one of the easiest ways to listen to the pod. You can hear our latest episode every week there, thanks to Amazon Music, which has a full catalog of podcasts, including Royally Obsessed.
All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Royally Obsessed on Amazon Music. Oh no, mine is listening to me say that right at this moment.
A royal reminder, new episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in on Amazon Music. Now, on to the show.
Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Stand by! Three cheers for Her Majesty the Queen!
Welcome back to Royally Obsessed. I'm Roberta.
And I'm Rachel.
And it's time for your weekly update on the royal news you need to know. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast if you don't already, and join our Facebook group at Royally Obsessed. Subscribe to our podcast and leave us a royal rating of 5 stars. Pretty please, if you're so inclined.
Yes, please.
And send us an email at info@gallerypodcast.com.
Well, now it's time for my favorite segment, the royal refreshment.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
Clink, clink, clink.
So this week, we are kicking things up a notch in our self-quarantine, quarantine stay-at-home orders. And this week, I'm surprising Roberta, I am drinking a delicious red wine.
And I am also drinking red wine. We switched out our cup of tea for some Meghan Markle-approved full-bodied reds.
Yes, exactly. as we know, one of her favorites that we have from the TIG that she mentioned on the TIG was a, am I going to say this right? Tignanello. It's an Italian red. Unfortunately, in my limited supply of alcohol, under these circumstances, I did have red, but I didn't have an Italian red, but I do have, and I feel like this still counts, a California Pinot Noir, which feels apropos given that she now lives in California again.
Very apropos. I love that. Okay. I'm really going to top you on this one because I have a box of wine.
Roberta, I love it.
Full-bodied Cabernet in a tiny little black box, and I'm going to pour myself some more. It looks
very royal to me.
It's not as bad as you would think, and the black box is pretty chic, I think.
Yeah, I think even just the font, it looks very distinguished.
I'm so embarrassed that I'm drinking boxed wine. Hey, you know what? It's red wine. I'm lucky to be here.
Exactly, and now we can have our virtual cheers.
I'm so pretending clink. It's... Clink. I'm pretending cheers. It's Tignanello and I'm Meghan Markle, so it's all
exactly.
Good.
I love that we picked the same thing. I'm going to try and kick it up again, but I got to find a liquor store that's open, or I got to figure that out. So
we need to coordinate next time. I like that we surprised each other and that we both did the same thing.
Yes, exactly.
While we're sipping, we wanted to shout out to our reader emails. We love hearing from you, so please, please, please keep writing in. It's honestly the highlight of our days. One of our favorites from last week came from Paige. She said, hello, Rachel and Roberta. Congratulations on your first episode. You did a great job. Oh, Paige, thank you. And I think it's safe to say that the podcast fan base will stick with you. That is
Paige,
great
you're the
to
best.
Hear.
Thank I you so much.
Following up on one of your topics, here's a picture of me in a version of the Princess Diana black sheep sweater that I bought off eBay a few years ago. There are some out there, but they're scarce. Looking forward to hearing from you in future weeks. Paige. And she sent us a picture of the sweater.
The picture
and I love
is
it.
Amazing. I honestly, when I saw this email, it just brightened everything about my week. You look incredible in it, Paige, and it makes me want it even more.
Same. And I love that she styled it similar to Diana over a white button-up shirt. I love it.
Yeah, it looks amazing. It also caused us to go down a deeper rabbit hole in regards to this sweater. So I hope you guys bear with us on this. But it's, as everyone recalls, if you listened last week, this is the sheep sweater that Diana wore to a polo match at Windsor in 1983. So Roberta and I found out that apparently it was designed by Joanna Osborne and Sally Muir, I'm probably saying her name wrong, whose company Warm and Wonderful exploded after Diana wore their design. Roberta, they sold 500 in just the weeks after Diana wore it.
That's crazy. And it's crazy that they sold 500 and At how much was it at the time?
I think it was $98 a sweater. So right. This is 1983. So I think we're talking like lingua.
I don't know what the conversion rate
is. I think lingua,
but...
lingua franca. It's like the lingua franca of 1983 or something. Yes. If anyone knows those sweaters with the slogans on them and the knit slogans, the hand stitch.
I actually did just a quick Google search and there are some on Etsy too. And there are definitely still some on eBay, as Paige said. So it's out there. And if you want, you could even knit your own, right, Bowie?
Yes. So I also found that apparently as part of a charity endeavor back in 1984, that Joanna and Sally actually donated or published, I think they donated the pattern and it was eventually published in McCall's magazine back in January 1984. So you can actually get all the lines of how to knit it yourself. I may or may not have sent it to my aunt in Connecticut, you know, you're at home, you have some extra time. Here's exactly how you would put this together. I have not gotten a reply.
I love it. I want to send it to my mom, but I know she'd be like, this is way too much work.
I mean, the individual sheep, right? But anyways, back to Paige. We love that you sent that in. And the photo was incredible. And we just, we're so jealous that you have that. So enjoy.
Yes. And cheers. Thank you for sending that in.
Cheers. Yeah. So this leads us into This Week in Royal History.
And now, This Week in Royal History.
So looking back, on April 16th, 1953, the Queen officially launched the Royal Yacht Britannia. So some information that we know about it, it was actually pouring when the ship launched, but still more than 30,000 well-wishers showed up to see the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh in Clydeside. So some fun facts that I thought were really interesting about this. The ceremony actually occurred approximately a month before the Queen's official coronation as Queen on June 2nd, 1953, because the ship itself was commissioned just 2 days after the death of Queen Elizabeth's father, King George VI, and took over a year to be completed.
Wow.
That was really crazy.
Yeah,
and her appearance was also the first time the crowd got to hear the official name of the ship, which we'd love to play a clip for you from that time.
For many months, there has been speculation about the name of the new yacht, and there's an air of expectancy as Her Majesty steps forward to perform the actual launching ceremony.
I name the ship Britannia. I wish success to her and to all who sail in her.
Oh my God, reaction to when she says the name Britannia and the people are like so shocked and excited, I love that.
Well, apparently that was the one line that you really could hear from the event, because after that, the crowd went so wild that you couldn't even hear what she said after that. But I love hearing her voice. And I also thought this was cool. The ship, their yacht was actually christened with wine, not champagne, since we're talking this was like post-World War II, and champagne was actually considered to be too extravagant for the launch of a ship at that time.
So we're even more on brand with our...
We are, Roberta. This
with
is
our
perfect.
Glasses of red wine that I'm still sipping as you tell me
too.
The history.
Me too.
Of 67 years ago. It's wild.
I know. It's crazy. I might go on too much of a deep dive with this, but I found it so interesting. So the yacht was actually designed with the option to be converted to a hospital ship if necessary, but it was also the first royal yacht to be designed for ocean travel. And what that meant is that it became the honeymoon destination of choice for several royals.
I love that.
So we've got Princess Margaret and Anthony Armstrong Jones. Roberta, do you remember his role in The Crown?
Yes. Okay, so that's immediately the actors who I think of.
That's who I think
when
of, too.
I think of Anthony Armstrong Jones. Yeah. Yes. And I don't know if that particular scene was in The Crown. Do you know?
I don't think that was in The Crown.
I know that the ship, or I guess they built a model, a set for it, was in season 2 when Prince Philip embarks on his like 6-month like tour of the world, and he goes
to Africa
and the Amazon. Yeah. So
it's because it was ocean ready.
There
you go.
Exactly.
Always accurate, The Crown. But then Princess Anne and Captain Mark Phillips used it. But apparently they endured crazy storms and really spent the first week of their honeymoon completely seasick. And then famously Prince Charles and Princess Diana used it, and so did Prince Andrew and Sarah Ferguson. Di and Charles went around the Mediterranean, and Andrew and Fergie went around the Azores. And then I just love this fact that apparently at the time, Princess Diana and Charles were so skilled, the crew that was running the ship were so skilled at dodging the press while they were at sea that the ship earned the nickname the Ghost Ship, which I thought was also
really
cool.
That is really interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I just love the use that they got out of it. And it was decommissioned in 1997. And the Queen actually wept openly about it when it was taken out of service. I think it was just such a part of so many family memories for the entire royal clan.
Totally.
And you can still actually check it out. It's now a floating museum in Scotland. And one final fun fact, the clocks aboard remain stopped at 3:01, the exact time the Queen disembarked for the very last time.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
I know.
I want them to like repurpose this ship in some way or still use it or something.
I think that they actually do use it for events. Can you imagine renting that for your event?
Oh my God.
Yes.
That would
be amazing. It would be amazing. But I think that it's so cool that so many of the royal members of the royal family use it for their honeymoons. That's my favorite. You know, just kind of thinking about the history of it. But it is crazy that it hasn't been in use for now, you know, 23 years.
Right. That is wild. Yeah. I had to ask my dad, because obviously we lived in Scotland when I was younger, if we had ever gone. And we didn't go to the museum, but I have seen the Waters Leith, which it's docked in. So they call it like Leith or the Waters Leith or Leith Waters, that area around Edinburgh. So that's where it still is. So you can still see it, which is very cool.
See, and I feel like we need to plan a trip.
Yeah. I will make a trip out of that with you after
all
this.
Yes, and we'll get a glass of red wine after.
Perfect. We can drink it aboard the ship if they let us on.
Aboard the ship. Yeah. I'm sure they would allow it, right?
I love it.
Amazing.
So moving on to our three stories of the week for this week's Royal Rundown. So our first story is how everyone spent Easter. And
what a difference this year, right?
It really was. It really was. So there was no St. George's Chapel this year. No, you know, spotting of the Queen, all the fashions that you usually see. But there was still lots of Easter content on social media. So we'll go through each of the royals and how they kind of celebrated the holiday. Camilla and Charles they posted about it. They had a pretty picture of daffodils, and they also announced that Prince Charles made his podcast debut, which cheers to them. Applause, because I feel like are really embracing modern times. They're getting on a podcast.
I feel like the royals' ability to pivot and just take everything online has showed how nimble they are, and just how, I mean, also the impressive, you know, what technology allows us in times like these. So
exactly.
I mean, as we know, Kate did her first podcast earlier. Was it this year or the end of last year? It was this year, I believe. And, you know, I just think that, yeah, it was in February. So I feel like it really is kind of impressive how much they are just going all in.
I love it. I hope to see more of that. So Prince Charles recorded a gospel reading, and it was for Westminster Abbey's new podcast called Abbeycast. So he read
a reading. Which is very cute. I like that name.
Yes, yeah, same. And it was John 20, 1 through 18, which tells of Mary Magdalene going to Jesus' tomb to find it empty, only for the resurrected Jesus to appear to her. So he read that on the podcast. He tested positive, as we know, for coronavirus and has recovered. So he was recording, but he was still recording the piece from home in his Scottish Highlands. So that was a really nice kind of way to celebrate.
And also I feel like his services were, I think you could also hear them as part of the annual virtual or the annual Easter virtual services too. So it wasn't just the podcast. I thought that was really awesome that he did that.
That is really nice. It's like he's there celebrating.
And I'm still picturing his iPad setup. I wonder if they gave him like a better podcast recording setup. But as he posted on their Instagram from the previous week when he virtually opened a hospital as part of coronavirus, I feel like he just really, he used like a very kind of basic setup. So I'm hoping they gave him, you know, a better sort of booth for this podcast debut.
I hope so, yeah. Too. But also it's like so endearing that he has to use like his own memoir to... to prop up his iPad.
I know. I was just going to say that I loved his Easter content with the daffodils, because I felt like they really kicked it. I mean, I believe they used portrait mode for that shot.
Oh, it was gorgeous. And
there was a beautiful theme.
There was a theme. I was getting to that, but I'm going to jump to that right now. That there was Kate and William also had a picture of daffodils in front of Kensington Palace in their yard growing. And then Princess Beatrice posted a picture of pink and white flowers on Instagram. So
yeah, that's a total theme. You're
it was
right.
a coordinated effort. I think they, I am picturing them all getting together on house party and deciding like, okay, let's do flowers this year. That is, you know, just a universally well-liked Easter theme that will resonate
it's
with
like
everyone.
Hope, yeah. Rebirth, growth. I think that you're totally right. But going back to the portrait mode moment, I think Charles kind of won the game of the floral content.
Is that your favorite?
That was my favorite. I mean, I obviously love the grounds at Kensington Palace. I feel like there's so much for me. It's one of my favorite places.
It's so nice to see it because you don't often see that view of Kensington, which is nice.
Exactly. But I feel like perhaps he didn't take the photo himself, but I do like the idea of him and Camilla maybe going for a walk and getting down low and shooting it. So you have like the building in the background and it was a really lovely photo.
Their photography skills are really stepping up in this quarantine, yeah. in this time. I love it.
Exactly.
Kate and William also, so they jumped on a Zoom call right before Easter, and Kate called out William for eating all of the Easter candy. Can we play that clip?
There'll be a lot of chocolate being eaten here, don't worry.
Yeah, excellent. You keep eating it.
Kate totally shaded William there. I loved it.
I loved it too. And if you couldn't hear, she said, he keeps eating it, like blaming him on the on eating all the chocolate bunnies. So I thought that was hilarious.
Well, it's nice to picture their Easter with that happening, right? It's like keeping it away from George, Charlotte, and Louis, and William kind of sneaking it all the way through. So they're like, you know, what a difference from last year again. But I think that they really kind of delivered on giving us a visual of what their celebrations looked like.
Definitely. And these Zoom calls really do. We'll talk about those more, but they really provide this kind of insight into their lives and their personal goings on that we don't normally see. It's like the unglossy version of them, but I still love to see that side of them, the playful side.
That's
of
such
Kate.
A great way of describing it. I totally feel the same way. I feel like it's making them just so much more have a much bigger presence and just feel really relatable for me, which is awesome. But how did you feel? I'm curious, because I know that it was a low for you last week that, you know, that you wouldn't be able to see them all dressed up for Easter. So how did you feel with what everything happened this year?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little sad to not see all the fashions. That's one of my favorite things about seeing them all together is seeing all the different, you know, usually pastel hues that they all break out for Easter. And I think that was a little sad to not see. But also, it's like they really did post a lot. They commemorated the holiday. So that was nice. It was good that they kind of still put themselves out there and made themselves known. And it was just nice to see. I liked seeing that when I woke up on Easter morning on Instagram. So, and Queen Elizabeth gave another message, which I thought was great. She gave another speech. It was very moving. She talked about light overcoming darkness, and we'll play an audio clip from that now.
We know that coronavirus will not overcome us. As dark as death can be, particularly for those suffering with grief, light and life are greater. May the living flame of the Easter hope be a steady guide as we face the future.
I don't know about you, Roberta, but I want Queen Elizabeth to have a podcast.
I would. I would die. I would love that more than anything. Hearing from her twice in such a short amount of time has really reminded me of how moving and how poignant her speaking is. Like, just to hear her say these powerful messages. And I actually, after listening to the Easter message, went back and listened to her other speech that she gave concerning coronavirus. And it really echoed those sentiments. And it just felt like she's just, you know, really there for the people and echoing kind of the same sentiments of like, you know, we will all be successful in this together. This mm-hmm. won't defeat us. We're going to look back and be proud of who we were during this time. So I thought that was
it's
really
such
nice.
A source of comfort. I totally agree. It's really soothing. I think that everyone really showed up. I mean, one notable absence, but you know, I mean, I think that they're kind of hunkering down right now is the Sussexes. We didn't hear anything from them on Easter, but that's, I'm not saying that to call them out or anything. I just think that that was like interesting. You know, we didn't hear from them.
I know. And I kind of hoped when I woke up on Easter and went about my day that they would you know, some announce some big news like about Archewell, or, you know, release their new website, or mm-hmm. launch their new Instagram. And I was sad that there was no news from them.
Or even, I feel like I would have loved like a pic of Archie or something, like a, you know, sweet shot of him or something. But at the same time, they don't really have an account right now to share it on. So I think.
Right. Except it's funny to me that at Sussex Royal, it still has 11.3 million followers.
Yeah.
So nobody's like, I don't think anyone's dropped off. I think people would not be that. I mean, they did say their goodbyes. Maybe I'm being like way too hopeful about this.
I feel like if they did post there, also they would get in trouble with the Queen, right?
That's
because it's
true,
still Sussex Royal. They'd have to rebrand everything if they used it again.
So they must be in the midst of that. They're in the weeds with launching everything. So they're probably just laying low for now.
And that's good too. I mean, you should. Easter is like a time of being home and kind of treasuring family and that kind of thing. So I support it too. But it was nice to hear from everyone. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice Easter too?
I did. Did you?
I did. I mean, it was a very, like, obviously social distance Easter,
right.
But there was an egg hunt. My son and I got out. I mean, it was fine.
I made
in our, and
I
by
made
got
a cake.
Out, I mean in our yard, but you made a cake?
I made a cake. That's my proudest accomplishment of probably this whole 5 weeks that we...
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
It was a,
I hope
a
you
cake
make that when we're back in the
of
office.
A, in the shape of a lamb.
Oh,
it, and it was covered in coconut flakes, so it looked like it had little lamb fur. It was really cute.
Now, if only you had the Diana sweater to wear.
Oh, my gosh.
I know
if
those
only.
Mom,
I mean, get
sheep,
on
but...
it. I need my mom to knit it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyways, I hope everyone had a nice Easter, everyone
yes.
listening. So moving on, some Harry and Meghan news that kind of broke was, so over the weekend, Dr. Jane Goodall, the famed ethologist and primatologist, who works with chimpanzees, revealed in the Daily Mail's Weekend magazine that Harry actually hinted at a possible royal exit last July. So,
dun,
Roberta,
dun,
as
dun.
You'll dun dun dun. As you'll remember, so last summer, Harry interviewed Dr. Goodall for the September issue of British Vogue that Meghan Markle guest edited. And during their chat at Windsor Castle, she actually got a chance to meet Archie, who was only a couple of months old at the time. But while she was holding him, she gave a royal wave and joked with Harry, I suppose he'll have to learn this. You know, the official, like, royal wave. I'm doing it to Roberta right
I
now.
I love it. The royal
visual.
Scoop wave.
Yes.
Yes.
But his reply to her was, no, he's not growing up like that. And I felt like this was a pretty big, I don't think Dr. Goodall was trying to get, like, all these headlines over it. But that's definitely, you know, kind of showing that he was really kind of thinking about this for a long time.
Well, it definitely, it's now in the light that we see it in now, it's a blatant call out to their exit. But at the time, it's like no one would have thought twice about that, I don't think. Like,
I know.
I remember writing about their interview and thinking like, oh, yeah, like he's not growing up like that. Like, oh, you know, the institution every day is becoming more modern and, you mm-hmm. know, stepping into the future. So no big deal. But then
exactly.
it's like, oh, he's not growing up like that.
Yeah, exactly. Hindsight is everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I totally agree because this was obviously 6 months before their January announcement. And now it sounds like Harry was, you know, it's easy to say he was over it at that point, but he might have just been like, kind of calling out to the fact that he really was, you know, I think he grew up under a lot of pressure. I mean, we've obviously heard the stories over the years and he has acted out, you know, in his teenage years and stuff like that. So it could have in that context just been like, you know what, I'm going to raise him a little bit differently.
Right. Like, was it an offhand comment to a friend? Like, Dr. Goodall is a friend of theirs, it seems like, and mm-hmm. they interact with her a lot and have her at Windsor Castle. So was it just this, like, you know, off the cuff comment, or was it, oh, he's not growing up like that because we're leaving the royal family soon.
I know.
It's interesting.
It is really interesting. And actually what, you know, an additional interview Dr. Goodall gave yesterday on Monday to the Radio Times, she added to this and she said that she actually mentioned that Harry's even having a hard time adjusting to his new California life. I have the quote. She said, I don't know how his career is going to map out, but yes, I've been in touch, though I think he's finding life a bit challenging just now. All of that makes sense, but it does sound like the two of them are regularly in touch. And I'm sure, you know, obviously these headlines get blown up out of proportion and amplified. You know, she might have just been, you know, saying he's, you know, figuring it out. But I do feel like it's a massive life change. And you add to that kind of everything that we're all going through with coronavirus to be away from home. I'm sure all of this is just such a huge transition. But definitely. It does sound like something he was grappling with for a while.
Right. And it is so interesting to know that she's talked to him and that he describes it as a bit challenging when, you know, for us, it's like, oh, they're just laying low. They're, you know, figuring out where they're going to live in LA, or they're getting their website all together, their foundation ready, all these things. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. Like, he's transitioning from being a part of the royal family to being now, to me, what I think is more of like a celebrity. Like, he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's always been a celebrity, but this is a different kind of celebrity. If he and Meghan are living here full time, or at least part time, as they said, they're going to go back and forth quite a bit. But still, it's like, that's a very different, I don't know. That would be a huge transition, I feel like.
It's probably hard to unlearn what he's learned in terms of protocol and how things go. And I mean, obviously the, you know, American way of life is quite different. There's a lot of similarities, but it's totally different than, you know, than what he grew up in. And I, you know, but I think like kind of, you know, reading what the interview with Dr. Goodall, like, I feel like for me, I feel like even if he didn't know at the time that he was going to make that change, I feel like, you know, just adding for me, like being a mom, I do feel like I completely changed as soon as I had my son. I think that everything that was a priority to me. So it's like, you kind of have this sort of, future vision where you're like, this is what my belief now, this is not my belief, this is how I want to raise my kids. It kind of comes to you kind of quickly, I would say. Right. So anyways, I just think that for Harry, he probably was ruminating on all of that for and grappling with his decision to exit for a very, very long time. Right. So whether he knew then or not, but interesting, what's it, not perspective, but context from
yes.
Dr. Goodall.
Yes. So moving on, our third royal story of the week is that the royals are doing Zoom calls, which I love because
this
we're all on Zoom
amazing.
Right now.
I loved this.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that so that no one, you know, Zoom bombs.
No, I mean, we're following what we should be doing. We are, oh yeah, no Zoom bombing.
Please
but
don't
I feel
Zoom
like
bomb our recording. But yeah, the royals are just like us. They had Prince William and Kate Middleton took to Zoom. We know it's Zoom because of the whole format. We can tell from, you know, the screenshots they posted in the videos. They had three different Zoom calls. So Prince William had was on all three. Kate was just on the first one. And they talked first to a primary school, Casterton Primary Academy in Burnley, England. Casterton. Sorry, that's a tricky one.
It's a tricky one to say.
Yeah. And that was last week. So they offered their thanks to the teachers that are at the school. The school is obviously staying open for the kids whose parents are essential workers. So either they're healthcare or they're grocery store workers or whatever it is. So they chatted with the staff and students and it was adorable. We're going to play.
It was so cute.
We're going to play a quick clip from it.
We just want to say a huge thank you to you guys and well done in keeping it all going. And please pass on, you know, many messages of support for all the staff and all the volunteers. They're doing a great job.
All the parents who are key workers, to know that their children are, as you're saying, sort of the normality is there for them and they've got the structure and they've got a safe place for them to be. So really, really well done to all of you. I know it's not easy circumstances, but it's fantastic.
It's so nice.
They say all the key workers, because that's their essential workers. We're like, this essential workers. I feel like the British are so much more posh. They're like, the key workers.
Gerda, I love your accent. That was so impressive.
Oh my gosh.
I love hearing their voices. I love hearing from Kate and William. And it's true. Like, we just don't hear from them as much as we've heard from them during this time. We see them a lot, but we don't hear them speak as often as I would like. And this has been awesome for me. I feel so comforted every time I hear from a royal.
Definitely. And I feel like like I said before, it's like a glimpse into their actual lives, which, you know, you're kind of beholden to the handshaking and the quick wave and the smiles when they go to events and things. But this is like, oh, they're sitting at a desk in their Anmer Hall home, supposedly. They are, you know,
blocking their kids from running through
right,
the shot.
Right, right. It's like, okay, George, Charlotte, Louis, please like take a nap right now. And that you see, like, they have this like turquoise armoire behind them. We can see like a glimpse of the decor. There's a little cute print of like a landscape
yes.
right behind Kate's head that I loved. Very understated. Everything's like beige and cream. It's very elegant. Kate's wearing a bright yellow Zara sweater or jumper.
Why is that not in stock right now?
I know. I was like, it's a past season. It's from the Royal Archives. But I do love the color of it.
I think marigold, that mustardy color, is such a win on most, actually most, for almost everyone, but I feel like it pops in that Zoom call.
Definitely. And you can't see below the waist, obviously. Like, I'm wearing my gray gross sweatpants right now that Rachel can't see, but I was wondering if Kate would be wearing sweatpants. You can see a glimpse. She adjusts her legs at one point. You can see a glimpse of what looks like maybe dark jeans or black jeans.
That is an eagle eye, Roberta. I am impressed.
Okay, so I spotted it because somebody else pointed it out. But it was funny because she was like super uncomfortable and looking like she had to adjust. And it's like, oh my gosh, yes, that is how we all feel on these Zoom calls.
I also love that William kind of like when it first started, you know, he's like leaning on, I'm doing it right now, but leaning on my face and blocking his, you know,
yeah.
They say like, don't cover your mouth when you're trying to talk, obviously. And he was very comfortable, but I just thought that was kind of cool. It's like, all of us are awkward in video calls. Let's just be honest.
Even
about
the royals.
That, so.
Even the royals. Even don't the royals. Feel bad if you have a weird Zoom call, because it's totally fine. The royals do it too. And she had some really pretty gold fern dangle earrings from Catherine Zoraida. And their username is shown on the screen in the bottom corner, and it's DOC. And for a second, I was like, Doc. Okay, like, Doc, what is that? And then it's like, oh, Duchess and Duke of Cambridge. Okay, so
I loved it.
Duke of Cambridge username. I love that we know that. They probably have had to change it since then because of privacy or whatever it is. Everyone found out. But that was how we knew, that they were Zooming. William had two more calls. He was named on Sunday patron of the National Emergencies Trust, which has doled out now close to, I think the conversion was like $16 million in emergency funds to different charities. Wow. He's the first patron ever. So this is a huge deal for him. And he had two more Zoom calls with a charity in Wales and one in Yorkshire. And he was his, you know, amiable dad joking self in both of these calls, looking super relaxed. His shirt is like unbuttoned and you can see his chest hair and some of it. So I was like, oh, okay. Hey, William. and he just has such a great sense of humor. I love his sense of humor. And it's like what you kind of need in this dark, uncertain times. It's like,
he's laughing. And it's interesting, like, the juxtaposition, because it's like the queen, I really want the formality and I want, you know, to hear that kind of even tone that we always hear from her and expect from her. But I do feel like then Kate and William come in and it is that sort of mom and dad vibes where I really do feel like, oh, you guys are making me feel so much better. And I like that you're here. I like that you're supporting everyone through this. It just is awesome. And they just really have that, like, you know, it feels like they're all of our parents.
Definitely. And we're seeing such a side of them we don't normally get to see. He even, and the one with the Welsh charity, he asked, am I saying the name right? Like, did I just say that right? And it's like, oh my gosh, that's me all the time. I feel like I'm always mispronouncing things. That's just so relatable. So it's been really nice. I hope they continue that. I hope they, you know, I'm sure they'll continue their charitable work whilst being isolated. So it's really nice to see. So before we adjourn the Royal Pod, here are our highs and lows of the week.
It's time for the Royal Highs and Lows.
So my high, I have one high and two lows. My high is a really, really big high. It's that Queen Elizabeth's dressmaker, Stuart Parvin, is making scrubs for the healthcare workers in the UK.
That's amazing.
I love it. It's like he's really taking to heart what she said. Like, we need to all be there for each other. We need to look back and think like that we are proud of how we acted in these times of crisis.
I think that's awesome. Yeah. That's such a great, great high of the week.
Yes. And then my two lows. First one, womp womp. Meghan and Harry's new website, archwellfoundation.com, mysteriously redirected to Kanye West's Gold Digger music video.
What? Yes. No, it didn't.
Yes.
No, it didn't.
Which was like, Oh my god, the trolls. Wait. The trolls. It's horrible. So when they announced Archewell Foundation, of course people are going to, I mean, we looked up the Instagram handle, people are going to take it even a step further, and they somehow got it to redirect to YouTube and play the Kanye West Gold Digger video. And I look today.
People are horrible.
I know. And I feel so, it's just like crushing. I feel like all this work that they're doing for good is just like.
It's been fixed though, right?
It's been fixed. So I look today. Oh, okay. Yeah. If you go today, it just says the website doesn't exist. So
there's
been progress made on that. On Instagram, if you look for the username Archewell Foundation, the page doesn't exist, which makes me think that they are starting to build it up and that it hasn't been released yet. I don't know how Instagram works in the back end, but I feel like there must be some way where they can like build their whatever profile, messaging, following, or, you know, posts, whatever it is, curate that before releasing it to the public. I don't know.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they have like a personal person at Instagram that helps them. Yeah.
Exactly. And then my next low was Meghan Markle's wedding dress designer, Claire Waite Keller, stepped down from Givenchy last week. I know. And we don't know what's next for her. She didn't announce what her next chapter is, but she did say there's more to come from her. So that's something to look forward to. Also kind of sad, though, that she made such an impact at Givenchy and, you know, designing Meghan Markle's dress was just one of the many amazing outfits that she created while she was there. She also is designed for Beyonce and so many celebrities. So it's a closing of one chapter. On to the next, though.
Okay, so my high of the week was this headline filled me with so much delight that Kate Middleton revealed her favorite celeb that she's met. And drumroll, please, it's David Attenborough.
Okay, who is David Attenborough? I know that I have heard his name before.
So for those unfamiliar, he is the famed UK historian and broadcaster who's narrated so many, I think over 40 documentaries about the planet.
Wow.
Harry and William and Charles were really involved with the debut of Blue Planet on Netflix, which was David Attenborough's latest work. And I know Kate has met him on several occasions, so there's that kind of synergy there. But I do like picturing George at home, you know, being like, Mom, put on Blue Planet again. Because, you know, I know for myself, like, you know, my son is watching over and over on repeat the same thing, whatever it is. I mean, it may or may not be Frozen. I'm trying to break him up that habit. But we'll show him Blue Planet next. But I did really like that Kate kind of revealed, you know, of all the celebrities she could have picked, she's met Reese Witherspoon, Victoria Beckham, David Beckham, Renee Zellweger. But she went with David Attenborough. So
I love that.
And then my low of the week is just more, coronavirus. Please, whatever you do not delay season 4 of The Crown. We live for this. Oh my
gosh, please do not.
So we, as you know, it typically comes out, I think the previous three seasons have all been released with a November-December timeline. And supposedly in early March, Netflix kind of predicted that coronavirus could cause some problems. So they bumped up the final filming shoot date and got everything, you know, on tape, as I'm making up, they say. but the issue that I've read is that editing, you know, music, all the sort of post-production things might actually get delayed because of everything being shut down and shuttered and what equipment people have access to. So the December release date of the next season might get put off, which is such a bummer. Come on. I know. But I'm going to pivot this low into a high because I also read that apparently the film rights have been sold for the story of Wallace Simpson, the divorcee who married the Duke of Windsor, which led to him abdicating the throne in 1936. So that would be amazing to watch. And even cooler, the production studio is in talks with Kate Blanchett to play Simpson.
Oh my God. Okay. I can totally see that. And I think it would be amazing to watch her play Wallace Simpson. I'm really excited for that. The low, though, we have to go back to The Crown. I'm so distraught right now. Because season 4 is when we would have first really seen Princess Diana.
I know. And I know. Really, I can't talk about it.
Really breaks my heart.
I do. Okay,
You can't pivot your lows to highs. Your lows are your lows. That's a low.
I know it's a low. But so I think that maybe, I know I'm trying to do it right now. I was just going to say, but maybe they did get everything recorded. But yeah, womp womp. What if we have to wait till 2021 to see this?
I'll be upset. I'll be
mad. Upset. I'll be writing an email.
Maybe when all this stops, like they can quickly get it together. This yes. is my plea to Netflix.
Yes.
Just churn it out. Get it on screen. We need the yeah. crown more than yeah. ever.
Totally. Okay. It's okay if the episodes run a little long. You don't yeah, have to no, be as,
don't
you know,
edit
we'll take
it, down.
It all.
Leave it all in. We need all of the content we can get. I am excited for the movie. That sounds really fun. And I think, I mean, Cate Blanchett's now in Mrs. America. And
yes, I need to watch that. That's on my
fabulous.
List as well. And she's just, I yeah, mean, so whatever like, she touches, right. touches turns to gold.
Right, exactly.
Royal gold? I don't know. Trying there.
The royal jewels.
The royal jewels.
So just a reminder before we close, leave us a royal rating of a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, wherever you get your podcasts. Here is a real review from Maggie0916. I am going to miss K and L, but the new hosts are delightful. So excited to keep my Thursday morning routine of listening to Royally Obsessed. Caitlin and Lisa, I know, and we're trying to do our best to, you know, uphold the torch and fill those massive shoes that they left behind. And we are so excited to hear that you guys are loving it, and we will, you know, continue to bring you the best royal news we can.
Yeah, that's such a nice note. Thank you so much for sending that through.
Yes, thank you so much. And reminders to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. You can follow us on Instagram, again, at Royally Obsessed Podcast, and the Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Drop us a line at info@gallerypodcast.com or follow us personally on Instagram. Mine is at Robbie Frito.
And I'm at RKBNYC.
And I've loved that some of you guys have already followed us and interacted with us. It's been so much fun so far. So we really thank you guys for being so, so, so supportive. And reminder to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Till next week.
God save the pod.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.